Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 115. We're an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And this is... I don't even do Dan for the internet anymore. I don't know why you keep bringing that up, dude.
Because your email address bothers me.
We did talk about my email address. If you want to email... If Sean says something really upsetting... and you want to email me about it, you can email me at hellohumans@danfromtheinternet.net. You can follow me on Twitter at danfromtheweb and on Instagram at danfromtheinternet as well. Might as well get that out of the way. You can follow the entire podcast on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. We have music this week. We're actually going to talk about a lot of music this week because we haven't done singles recently. And so we're just going to like batch in a ton of singles, like a little potpourri from all different parts of music. Poo-poo platter. And then we have three albums. You know what I'm saying? By Danny Brown, Deceiver.
Upside down question mark.
Yes, upside down question, inverted question mark is what the term I guess is. Deceiver by Dive. And Headspace by Levitation Room, mm-hmm. All lowercase.
Lots of hipster.
Lots of hipster shit.
Love it.
Anyways, let's go into our singles this week. And these are all from this week. Two of them are from
just from September when we haven't been able to review.
We're sprinkling it in now.
Because we didn't have time. Ed O'Brien, who is one of the guitarists of Radiohead. He does a lot of the effects and other stuff and backing vocals for Radiohead. He released a single from his upcoming album called Santa Teresa, and it's not under his name Ed O'Brien, it's just EOB is what he's releasing it under.
Capital letters EOB, that's correct. Yeah.
That's it. So, I know he's been talking about doing a solo project for years at this point. He got interviewed in 2014, 2015 about it. But this is the first track. It's very, very ambient. I had no idea expecting what to do with that. And, ambient, like kind of like Sigaros in a way. Like Sigaros's Route 1, which came out 2 years ago or whatever. Where it's just ambient sounds, that's pretty much what this is, but with ambient guitar effects in the way. I like, which is, it's a bit different. I have no idea what the hell he's going to make by himself, because I know he experiments a lot with guitar pedals and stuff. That's how he gets a lot of the sounds for Radiohead.
Yes.
But if it's an entire album like that, that's a lot, but I kind of doubt that.
If it is, like, it's
different. It's just a soundscape type thing, so...
There are a lot of albums that come out, like, all the time that are just, like, soundscape things.
Yes.
That, you know, are ambient and nice, but we don't do, because, like, basically, to be real, there's like we're ranking, not ranking, but like we can only review so much music at a certain period of time.
Exactly.
And we can't like review all the 10 ambient albums that come out every single week. There's a lot of that out there.
Yes.
That kind of just goes like not being seen or kind of just goes missed because like Travis Scott's releasing singles or something like that.
Yeah.
But this kind of goes back to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago where the members of Radiohead are doing a good job kind of contributing back to music in the ways they can.
Mm-hmm.
So this is complete speculation land, but if he was to do a fully ambient album, that could really spotlight some ambient artists that exist, because maybe more people would get into the genre to an extent. I mean, that's also super reading into the tea leaves, because, I don't know, I've just started reading Spotify, like, monthly listeners and things like that, mm-hmm. and the song at least didn't have that many.
No, because it literally, it wasn't up until yesterday. It wasn't even up on Friday when I was looking for it under EOB. It wasn't up until yesterday.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, I don't know if because it was his name or what, but...
Well, yeah, it's up now. Apparently there is more work coming out. You said an album?
Yes.
Okay, that should be interesting. In our little, like, Radiohead break, if they're making another album again. Who knows? Next, we have Travis Scott. It's his first single coming out. It's lit! Yeah! It's his first single coming out since... Astroworld got released pretty much, and he's done like collaborations everywhere because that's trap. But Highest in the Room is kind of the newest bit of that. The Sean gave it his like, okay, I'll try, because you know, we've kept it pretty trap free on Audio Face pretty recently as of late.
Just so over it.
And so Sean listened to a couple seconds of this song, and it was basically just like, oh, there's, he added guitar.
Literally the same theme, except he added a guitar on GarageBand.
Yeah, it's basically...
It's like you go on a laptop and you find acoustic guitar sounds that sound like Lil Nas X, you put that into Butterfly Effect, and that's the song. This not the Molly, this the boo. Ain't no coming back from here. Live the life a lot familiar. It's so much gain that I can't see it. Yeah. Turn it up till they can't hear. Running, running around for the thrill. Yeah, dog, dog, run my reel. Just trap needs to stop. Trap needs to end.
Yeah, it's just like, that's it. Like it's basically done. Travis Scott's entire albums are just like what we used to call B-sides. Yeah. Where like you're allowed to just take the same beat and like do something weird with it, but like you don't get to call it like new songs, like new singles. You're just like fucking around with existing shit, which is apparently what's holding up the new Kanye album, but we'll hold on that just a bit.
So
Miles Kane. Oh wait, no. Sorry, there is one other thing really fast. Since we are talking about Travis Scott, I don't know, sorry, it's been a little while since I posted the episode. We previously talked about Travis Scott, who was nominated last year, actually, for the Vanilla Ice Award,
yep.
Because Asher No Award. Bystanders, Fuck the Club Up chorus. It was similar to 3-6 Mafia's Tear the Club Up chorus.
Pretty similar.
Travis Scott's settling. Apparently it's about 20 mil.
Jesus.
So Travis Scott is paying his taxes.
Wow, so he did copy it. Great job, dumb.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, let's just not fight this.
Let's not say we did.
At least it wasn't Butterfly Effect, because Travis Scott could basically sue himself for copying that overall.
Yeah,
anyways.
About 45 times.
Let's talk about Miles Kane, because he brought that up.
Yeah, so he had a single released in early September called Blame It on the Summertime. I think that's his first single since his album released last year, Coup de Grâce.
So this what is Miles Kane for the uninitiated? Because I think you threw his name out in a previous episode, a couple episodes ago.
He's a solo artist out of England, naturally. Most people know him from The Last Shadow Puppets, which is a band of him and Alex Turner from Arctic Monkeys, and that band is ridiculously good. Like, the problem is their latest album came in 2016 before the podcast was made, so I can never really talk about The Last Shadow Puppets except our Arctic Monkeys episode. But we were talking about Liam Gallagher last week and how that old rock sound, only certain artists can do it and pull it off into this kind of age, and Miles Kane is one of those.
Yeah.
Where he has that old-time kind of Oasis-ish sound, 90s rock, but he puts a modern twist to all of it, all of the music, and puts lyrics into it and stuff that makes sense and matter a bit.
Yeah, like I would even say it's a little bit of like an 80s, like late 80s kind of thing.
Yeah, you can do that too.
There's this one song, it's called Summer in the City, and I forget who did the original version by it, but it's really good and reminds me a lot of this, like it's a similar inspiration. Joe Cocker.
Okay.
It was done in 1992. And it was like a really popular song like in the 1992, back when we were like, thoughts of sperm cells.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, it's very good. It's sad that it comes out in fall, because it would have been a nice little song of the summer addition to the playlist.
Yeah, but, you know. Yeah. I don't know why he released it out that late, but it's fine. It's a good single, so it's kind of to get you into his music if you want something along the lines of that style of rock.
Yeah,
I would definitely look into Miles Kane. He has a couple albums. Coup de Grâce, he's going on tour for it right now. I like that album, which came out last year. So
as someone who hasn't heard a lot of him, I'm definitely going to listen to more, because this is a nice little taste. And it's nice to see where he's come from and where he's going to go.
Yeah, I believe he's also from Sheffield. The Japanese House released... she released a single, Amber. Something Has to Change.
Yes.
This is the first single after her first full-length album,
Good of Falling,
which came out, April-ish of this year? Something like that?
It's
April or March of this year.
Yeah.
which I liked, but I wanted a little bit more of her stuff that she released earlier. But this right. is Something Has to Change is fucking good.
Very good.
This is a really, really good song.
I actually had my first listen of it just like seconds before we were doing this episode, and I was just like bobbing my head. Just like, just
insanely good. I wish she had time or something that she could have put it onto Good at Falling. I think it would have complimented Good at Falling a bit more.
But yeah, this would have given it like a little bit more.
It would have
like
given a bit more,
juice.
Yeah, exactly. But damn, she's so talented.
she's really good.
Yeah, fantastic work. So definitely check her out.
I think we definitely caught her like on the come up too. So mm-hmm. good looking out, Sean.
Never sleep on your boy.
Yes. We have talked about a lot of music. A lot of music in a continuous session because we did a lot of singles, which is pretty good. So let's get into some news really fast because we do a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Let's talk about our favorite schizophrenic rapper.
Yeah, so Kanye West's Jesus is King no longer has a release date because first Kim Kardashian said last year that there would be an album coming out in about mid-November around Thanksgiving that never came out. And then Kim Kardashian said there would be an album coming out sometime in late September and it got a release date and everyone talked about it. And then Kim Kardashian said after that Fridays in September had passed and we talked about it on the Sunday in Audioface because it still hadn't been released then, Kim Kardashian said that it would be coming out that weekend as soon as Kanye West did a New York like sort of announcement of the album and buzzer me.
There you go, sorry. I wanted to pause to reflect because, okay. I have a thing with Kanye. Well, I already do. But I think ever since he dropped, you know, his albums, his really good albums, when he had the little bear thing, that was his thing. Ever since he dropped the bear, that's when he went crazy.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, he dropped the bear in the Shutter Shades. He dropped the bear for Shutter Shades and then went off his tits.
Okay, but I think he had, actually, I think, so after.
Because Graduation was, he still had the bear.
No, I was fine with him up until Yeezus. I felt Yeezus was like some experimental, okay, kind of going off the wall shit, but he was gonna like kind of bring himself back down.
I mean, I do like On Sight. I don't like the lyrics of it, but I mean, Daft Punk made it, so that's probably why I like it.
Like honestly,
but the rest of the album was garbage. I am a god.
Well, I like about 7/10 of the album. Like now, we're going into a weird Kanye West thing, but we should about Kanye West. So I'm down to talk about this. From Yeezus, I think I like almost every other song, but like. I'm fine with Down to Hold My Liquor. I'm in it, whatever. Blood on the Leaves is pretty good. Send It Up is all right. Bound 2 is just really catchy. It does the thing Kanye does where he does that. But yeah, he's just kind of fallen down since then. And The Life of Pablo, you saw like little hints of he's still
and
there.
And it was still, but there's things I'm like, you need to get your brain checked out, bud.
And then Ye is just like completely off the wall. Like it's just
and
like
it's just terrible.
It's like when you start a painting and it's like Van Gogh and it's beautiful, and then like as you go more to the right, it just like draws.
You know when
scribbles.
An artist starts getting dementia and they're, you can slowly see it in their art. That's fucking Kanye.
So
there's no longer a release date. He's dumb and
yeah. So according to TMZ's sources, West reportedly changes something in the project every time he plays it back for people.
Jesus.
So he's just like, are you ready to release it? Yeah, let's just hear it one more time. Pause it. Let's change it. And this is actually something he talked about with The Life of Pablo, that he wanted to be a continuous album. There is a version of Feedback, and I have it as an MP3 somewhere on one of my old hard drives. There was the original version of Feedback, where the bass extended out a little bit longer at the end. And I think that was a little bit of the better version of it. And it's gone now, because Kanye West just wanted to continuously update the album. So I think he's wanted to kind of keep changing the flow, but just like doesn't, it's a quote-unquote innovative idea in the sense that like no one's doing it, but it's just a dumb idea because it's hard to follow
ideas.
Oh, except actually Yandy or Jesus Arrived or whatever is actually out now on iTunes. You can get 30-second snippets that are low quality of some of the songs on here that you can get as ringtones from the Apple Store.
Christ.
And apparently in one of those, Kanye drops a reference to Drake's kid.
Yeah, all right, never mind, now I'm interested. Now I'm very, very interested.
Yeah, so,
The story of Adidon.
Yeah. A snippet of one of the leaked songs says, like J. Cole, damn, my whole city turned they back on me. They thought I told Push about Drake's son, goddamn. Well, you did.
Oh, this makes me very happy.
Yeah. I also thought that Kanye West wasn't going to curse anymore. That was his whole thing about like releasing gospel music now.
Yes.
I think that's a goddamn, that's a...
Goddamn, you can't say that.
You really can't say that. That's when it starts to get into destructive territory. Okay, so we are almost out of this dumpster fire of news, but we have Donald Trump's Nickelback video meme. So this is a terrible thing where, because of the whole Ukraine snafu, I think is a good way to put it, that yes. Trump is going through right now. He posted this picture, because the idea is that Donald Trump is accusing Democratic presidential candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden of wheeling and dealing and doing corruption in Ukraine because his son, Hunter Biden, the ne'er-do-well Kendall Roy of the family, is kind of just like running around in Ukraine using his
getting
dad's...
Getting a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, using his dad's sort of name to get leverage. And it's funny because I think there's one political pundit who said that Trump is playing a game he doesn't want to play of, like, getting into the corruption of other people's kids. Because, I mean, like, that's just firepower.
I mean, that's
But nevertheless, we were not doing the Syndicate 23 political report until the bombs go off.
Yes.
So,
look at this photograph!
Yes, they did a Nickelback song. Or Trump posted a meme of a Nickelback song where he goes, look at this photograph. And then it zooms in and it shows Hunter Biden, the Ukrainian investigator, Joe Biden, all these people together in a photograph. Never mind the instances where you have, like Donald Trump alongside, what is it, Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes, and lots of other things.
And all those other like really scandalous moments. Like, it's not, I mean, I'm not going to defend Joe Biden because he's a dementia-ridden shill, but Nickelback sued Donald Trump. Or, like, they were threatened to sue, and they got him a copyright strike, so he had to take the video down. Because no one wants their music to be alongside this Cheeto-haired fascist.
So Danny Brown released an album.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Inverted question mark, because apparently he's speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
11 songs, 33 minutes long.
This is a very interesting album.
I don't get it.
Really?
So I don't know.
Let me try to explain it.
Please, please explain it to
me. Okay.
I know, isn't it supposed to be a comedy album or some shit?
Yes.
Which I never really understand comedy albums that much. The only one I get was Reggie Waters.
Reggie Watts?
Oh, Reggie Watts. I always say Waters. Reggie Watts, but he does a freestyle.
Yes.
That stuff I like when Reggie Watts does that stuff.
I mean, so...
But that's the only guy I think I really understand with comedy albums.
I thought it was pretty on the nose here, because another famous comedy album is Food. Like, that entire album, the lyrics are, like, meant to be kind of, like, punchlines and jokes. And Doom kind of does this throughout his career, but, like, everything...
But the production of that is ridiculously good. That's the thing.
And it's pretty good in this, too, if I will say so myself.
I thought it felt outdated. That's my thing.
Maybe outdated, but, just, like...
I don't know.
It was entertaining for me. It was entertaining.
Well, some of the songs, I think Best Life, where he's talking about his dick, I'm like, okay.
I like
that. That's a lot of penis references.
Theme song kind of just feels like the opening to a show, kind of the way Doom used to like do riffs on the opening of Saturday morning cartoons to like start his albums.
Yeah.
It kind of just feels like that, and it has that sort of like fun jumping around kind of like vibe to it. No child support. Sort of like the bad boys up against George. But nigga, you ain't scoring. Not on me. Wrote this 101 me. R.I.P. to P. Taught me to keep it real.
stand on my own. If I got to, rock a nigga brain with his nose. No time for the gimmicks, and I ain't got a lot when I say I'm independent. Nigga, that's the thing, so a bitch ass niggas. Got a little richer, not a head or a bigger. Nigga, that's the thing, so a bitch ass niggas.
There's even a reference in Run the Jewels where LP says like food in one of the lyrics.
He does.
And kind of talking the comedy album funny. Kind of vibe. So like I definitely get that it's totally there. I mostly like this album. It was really good. I think of Danny Brown's, I think this is going to be I'm not gonna say a lot, but like I like Atrocity Exhibition, Danny Brown's previous album, a little bit more than this. But this is a very good like side project. And while we're talking about like Kanye West did weird shit when he decided to just like go off the wall and do experimental art shit. Yeah. This is a little bit experimental art shit for Danny Brown, but this is like fun. It's sort of cohesive. It like is like packed tight together. It doesn't leave any sort of loose ends when you hear it from beginning to end. But with that little bit of clarity and kind of my opinion of it, what do you think?
It's okay. I don't know, I'm going to have to listen to this a couple of times to understand it, I guess. I just had that one playthrough. But it felt like the production was stuck in the 90s, but not in a good way. Because there's, like, 90s hip-hop, and if you rejuvenate it in this decade, you can make it sound really good, or you can make it sound outdated. You can make it sound Uncle Rappy. And this, to me, I don't know if just the production of it just felt really stale and bland to me.
Yeah, I mean, some of the producers on here are pretty, like they are sort of the old, they're newer producers, but they're inspired by the older guards. So
you can make it sound, you could make an old sound sound new, but they didn't do that at all with this. And that's my problem with it. It's like, okay, it's nothing that really intrigues me that much in this decade, especially with the amount of rap I've listened to.
It's absolutely not to like apologize for it, but it's just like kind of to understand it.
Yeah.
But it's like at the time, it feels almost like a drop. Kind of, because it's really short.
It's short as fuck, too. Yeah. It's only, what, half an hour long? Yeah, 33 minutes.
Yeah, 33 minutes long, 11 songs. I didn't even know if we even did the specs when we went into it.
I think I did.
Okay. Pretty sure you did. It's just like, you know, it's
habit now. I always do that.
But I would say I would recommend listening to it. The Arbitrary Scale this week is,
speaking of Ukraine.
Yeah. What song is my favorite on here? Negro Spiritual. Looking spiritual, it's so hard for me. I took the back row, I took the back seat. I met your back though. Yeah. All these niggas getting physical. On the outside, it's looking spiritual. I mean, yeah. I took the back row. Let me hear that. All my wrists is vanishing, it's mint condition. Came a long way from not having a pot to piss. A season ticket for the best, then cut crack on dishes. Every dream I have, I live it. Nigga, what's the best? Was
whatever my song is whatever he's talked about his dick.
Best life.
I think it's best life, right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, dude, that's you're just straight describing your knob. All right, sure, let's go with that.
But the Arbitrary Scale this week is Whistleblowers, and More is Better.
More is Better. Okay.
Yeah, we were gonna pick our favorite Whistleblowers, but all of our Whistleblowers are our favorite. I'm gonna give this 3 Whistleblowers.
3 Whistleblowers? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this like 2 Whistleblowers, but they're solid evidence Whistleblowers.
Yeah, like it's not secondhand evidence Whistleblowers.
No. It's like they got the shit, but they'll... But
first-hand then, but corroborating 6 witnesses.
Yeah, but they're not going to have to go and hiding in Russia and shit. They're not that crazy Whistleblowers, but they'll at least get some people in jail.
Yeah, airtight. 21 Savage. He's not the most woke, but he's like very respectable in his politics, I would say. He is calling on the U.S. government to give immigrant children automatic citizenship, saying that when you ain't got a choice, you should be exempt, kind of taking a more humanitarian approach to things. And of course, he's speaking on this more because he's had his own sort of like issues with ICE recently.
Yes.
With him secretly being British. And arguably, even though he was like put in solitary confinement and jailed for like several hours and it wasn't like a great situation, he got kind of better treatment because he is a prominent like rap artist.
Because you got money.
Yeah. So he said, when you're a child, you don't know what's going on. Now you grow up and got to figure out. Can't get a job, can't get a license. I'm one of the lucky ones who became successful. It's a lot of people who can't. That's literally exactly kind of what we're saying here.
Yeah.
So he understands that well.
That's fine. I get that, especially for children. Children's.
Cheers.
I agree Yeah.
I agree with that. And before we get into Dive really quickly.
Interesting.
Yes. Frank Ocean is apparently working on a new album of club music.
He said he's mining the Detroit, Chicago, techno house, French electronic scenes.
Yes.
All right. You've piqued my interest, bud, because that's my wheelhouse. If you fuck this up, you go on the chopping block.
Yeah.
It's like the courthouse jester.
I really think that, I mean, Frank Ocean is, I think he is overhyped and over, like, glorified in music, but only just a little bit.
I think people are very fanatic,
but, like, he's done really good production. He has this, like, really sort of storied fabled history of, like, being fucked over by record labels and, like, kind of reclaiming that back. His albums have these, like, really deep sort of, like, emotional depth that at least at the time when it was coming out, you didn't really see a lot from rap,
and now it's kind of being
not only is it the standard kind of, but now it's being heralded as something new just because XXXTentacion kind of did it. Like it's just, and all these people go like, yeah, Frank Ocean was the shit. So to see someone take, and Frank Ocean is sort of like, he's kind of elusive as far as music goes. He's not like trying to rush to make it something new. He is, to see he wants to like pivot and say, hey, I want to experiment doing this type of music or this type of thing.
Which I'm super down for.
Yeah. I think it'd be really cool.
I'm like mega deluxe down. Just don't fuck it up.
Yeah. 2020 might be a really good year in music. Not saying anything.
I mean, 1975 comes out in 2020. So.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay.
No, it is for sure. Dive. Deceiver. 10 songs, 44 minutes long. My favorite bunch of hipster, like, if you want the epitome of hipster, go to Dive's Instagram page, because it is just, you look at them like, oh God, man.
I wasn't sure I was tagging them properly on Instagram, actually, because that had a really weird,
Oh yeah, their handle? Yeah, their handle is really weird. Just, if you saw that I follow them, then you know it's them. They're, because that's how hipster you are.
You can follow SW Suarez on Instagram to follow Dive on.
Yes.
Yes. I remember, so, Dive is also, we're bringing it up, we do music recommendations, we'll probably do one next week or the week after that, an episode where we just talk about like, hey, stuff that isn't totally like new, hasn't come out recently, but we're really digging it, so we're going to talk about it more. This is one of those kind of things that you brought up.
I brought up a long time ago. I've been listening to Dive since they started in 2012, Ocean. That's one of my favorite albums of the decade, easily. They had that very indie surf tone that was pretty prominent in the 2012 era, but they put their own twist to it, where the lyrics were really like spacey, so you couldn't really understand it, but it gave you a really cool vibe. And then Is the Is R, which I love that title because that's literal Sean language, that came out 2016, kind of was a little bit more of that, but a little more produced way, not as airy, but they still had amazing tracks on it. And this is a kind of a pivot from it, Deceiver. It's more of, I haven't necessarily heard this before. I was trying to explain this to my friend, Justin, yesterday when I was put this album on.
Shout out, Justin.
It's hipster grunge, which is not something you hear often.
And, like, we kind of just, like, I worry a lot of times with audio things, we kind of just run down into call something, like, hipster Uber, but for this. Like,
I don't know how to describe it, though, because it's definitely Dive. The lyrics are still pretty airy, so some of the songs you can understand what he's saying, but a lot of the times you can't, but it's purposely made that way. But it's definitely heavier, and he said that too. He's like, okay, I want it to be heavier. It was still a lot of fun to produce, but I wanted to make an album a little bit different, so like, a little more deeper.
Modernized fusion grunge, I guess.
Yeah, but still like surf rock grunge.
Yeah, because it's without getting, I'll let you continue, but like without getting too much into what I kind of came away with it as, it was like constant guitar soundscapes, almost like, not like jam band annoying, but just like kind of continuing and going on. Mm-hmm. But along with sort of alternative rock elements, but definitely that surf element.
Yeah, there are a couple of tracks in here that were kind of normal-ish Dive, but still had the heavier guitar in it. I think Taker is one of them. But the first three songs, Horsehead, Like Before You Were Born, Skin Game, those are definitely those heavier tracks. Skin Game was one of their singles that came out.
I really like Skin Game.
Also, it's a fantastic song. Very, very good.
Hey.
I think Corset is very deep for especially for album openers. Like, okay, this is a lot of guitar. So I wish they put that maybe a little bit more in the middle or towards the end, and they put Skin Game at the front, and that would have been a lot better for the run of the album.
The album didn't pick up to me until Skin Game.
Exactly. The first two, I wish they put them somewhere else in the album. I do like the songs. It's just, it doesn't get you in the mood to listen to it. Skin Game, fantastic, fantastic song. I do definitely like Taker a lot. The Spark's also good. Their last track, Acheron, is nice. It's just a bit long, but they tend to do that.
Yeah, I give you that with your last.
Exactly, if you last that song, you can have fun with it. But I do like it. It's definitely a pivot for them, which I'm glad, because I was slightly worried. I'm like, I don't want them to make another Is There Another Ocean. I know they're talented as, but I'm interested to see what they do, but still staying true to themselves. And they did. It's a bit different. So is that kind of what you take? What you took away with it?
Right. So yeah, I kind of agree with you. I wish they did. Skin Game was close to the beginning, so the album sort of could have started with a bang or a complete sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I will say this with the album, which is good, I had to listen to it twice really kind of take it in.
That's how most every Dive album I've done, I've had the same exact experience. Yeah.
The first time I listened to it, I was like, okay, this is interesting. I don't know exactly how I feel about it.
Same
thing. Yep. When you recommended Is the Izar, I think of most of the music. Like, Dive is one on the high end of, like, the music recommendations you've given to me that I've actually listened to a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, long spanses of, like, me focusing at work or playing a video game or something.
Perfect for that.
Great for that. Amazing for that. And so Izzy Izar, I was, like, pretty high bar, pretty high standards. I probably would have even given them a little bit of a pass if they made a little bit of another Izzy Izar, because it was a really good album.
Yeah.
But this definitely isn't that. I think coming away with it as a full album, as a full work, which I think Dive is the best at, it kind of faltered in the beginning. Once it got to Skin Game going down, it was pretty good. And then it almost like missed its like fall at the end. I didn't really like Lorelei, but Blankenship. Oh my God.
Blankenship's a good song.
Blankenship is fucking incredible. Blankenship needs to be in movies and car commercials.
That was their last single they put out. And I was waiting to talk about Blankenship too, and this single came out. I'm like, I'm going to cheat and listen to this. Like, holy shit, Jesus Christ, these guys are good.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, it's just like really, it's definitely probably the most energetic, peppy song on the album, but it just has this like sort of ominous tone that's just, it almost reminds me of Muse around the time they were doing Black Holes and Revelations. Like that sort of
definitely.
Aura, that sort of environment, but definitely different by far from that. But it's just like, I think that combination of grunge and almost surf alternative rock gets you around there.
I don't think anyone's ever really combined those three together. At least I haven't heard it before at all.
I'm fucking loving it.
Yeah, that's right. These are my boys. Dive are my boys.
This is
forever.
Yeah.
They are weird as shit, but they make really good music. So this is solid. I don't even know how many whistleblowers I can give, but I'm going to give out the maximum amount of whistleblowers.
I would say the maximum amount of whistleblowers is if we turned around the surveillance state and made it so every American citizen were spying on what the
government was doing. All right, that's basically, so the whistleblower is the Stasi. So Stasi or Stasi.
How about let's tap the brakes on this before
it's really East weird. German police.
let's call this four whistleblowers for me.
Four whistleblowers? Okay.
Yeah, so I gave the other one three. This one's four. Take that what you will. This is an arbitrary scale.
I'm giving it the Stasi. Look it up.
Okay. meanwhile, and are they making
when music? When your uncle's your own whistleblower.
Meanwhile, are they making music or are they not? Damon Albarn has launched a new orchestral project. You want to count how many words is in this? Ready? It is called... the nearer the fountain, more pure the stream flows.
Damon, what do we tell you, bud? What do we fucking tell you, Damon?
Stop making music, Damon Albarn.
Go
please
to
stop
a private island. Hey, Richard Branson. I got a project for you, dude. You have a lot of billions of dollars. You're pretty chill out of all the billionaires.
The rocket thing is kind of self-sustaining. Like, you can take a break from
it. It's like down, it's over here, and I can see it every once in a while. I'm like, that's a really big fucking jet. And it's got a rocket on top. That's interesting. Anyways, go get another private island. Make the Virgin Islands part two. And even though that has nothing to do with you. And then,
no kids.
Yep. That too. And put Damon Albarn on there and say, swim, bitch, and fly away and make sure that he has to go and jump up on a tree, get coconuts by himself, and that way he cannot do music for about 3 years.
Yeah, that he needs to just like completely...
He needs to like straight up go... what is the last non-inhabited island in the entire world? I think it's somewhere off the coast of India where they literally shoot at planes if they see you with spears.
Oh, I know what you're talking about because there was like a white savior missionary guy.
Oh, missionaries always get killed. They get killed immediately. That's like why no one wants to go there because A, diseases, and B, they literally have to shoot all of them because they see anybody else other than them and they throw up spears immediately.
There it is. North Sentinel, a forbidden island in the Andaman Sea.
Andaman Sea. I think that's off of India.
Yeah, it is off the coast of India.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The picture of the one dude with the spear, he's like, come at me, cuz, of the helicopter. Like, that, you know, that guy's seen a lot of shit.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, Damon, go on there.
And now, yeah, Damon Albarn, please stop making music so you can make better music. Okay, I don't know what the fuck is going on with this fucking group. Saab RBE. They were together and they were a group. Basically, they were on the Black Panther soundtrack. They seemed like they could be a cool rap group thing from like the Bay Area. Then they did an album, it was kind of trash. Then they broke up, and then one of their guys is arrested for murder.
First off, I don't think this is English. Let me just read this for you. This title from Consequence of Sound. Former Saab X RBE rapper Lil G arrested for murder.
It's not little, like L-I-L, just L-U-L, like Lil G.
Oh my god, I hate the planet Earth so much.
Oh, did you want to guess which one's Lil G?
Well, I'm assuming it's this guy.
That one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, correct.
Yeah, kind of figured.
Correct, yeah, I kind of realized. So he was arrested for murder, according to the Solano Cali.
That guy's got murdering eyes. The other ones, like, they kind of seem like derpy dudes, and maybe that guy might sell some dope. These two dudes are dopey.
He might kill a man.
And this guy can definitely kill a guy.
Would you like to hear his government?
His government name? Oh, give me his Otis Jenkins, yeah.
George Harris.
If you just put an O-N at the end of it, that's a little trippy.
Okay.
I wonder if his parents like the Beatles.
Yes, they were going to break up, and then they didn't break up, and now they're getting... Guys in jail. Okay,
Now they're getting Brockhamptoned.
Yes, so Headspace is an album that has been released by Levitation Room. Levitation Room is like a sort of...
I've never heard of Levitation Room before.
They're really new. I think they're like an LA-based, I want to say like
psychedelic indie alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah, is what I could say. This is actually really fucking good. It's a really good album. I had no idea. Literally, when it's like Levitation Room, I'm like, all right, let's give Headspace to listen to. I just straight just listen the whole, because sometimes I'll take breaks between. I'm like, okay, I need to like tune out. I was like, all right, let me just listen to it all the way through. This is really good.
It's 11 songs, 40 minutes long. And it's a good, like, 40-minute, like, commute listen through.
Yeah. Mr. Polydactyl Cat, which is a really weird title. Fucking hipsters. It's a decent opening track. What You See is also a decent opening two tracks. So those are good. What they did with Dream Within a Dream sounded straight out of Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah.
Straight up was when George Harrison went to India for a minute and figured out how to play a couple different instruments and shit and got super Buddhist-y. That's what Dream Within a Dream sounded like. Just straight up that Indian theme, sitar. With that sitar in the back that was go over the whole theme of that track. And it was fantastic. Yeah. I haven't really heard much of that stuff, especially in an alternative-ish album. And I go, okay, I could deal with this.
Oh, absolutely.
This. And then Oh Child is okay. 2025, though, is my favorite song on this album by far.
Really?
It's a fantastic song.
"2025" is really good. I would say "Pass It On" is just a little bit better. It's longer. It's kind of like a put together like thing. And so like if you want it to kind of move on, maybe you could say it drags on long because it is almost 6 minutes. I think that is the longest song on the album.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like really complete together and fits really nicely in between 2025 and Headspace, which is the title track, which is also very, very good.
Yeah, it's I've never heard of them before, so thanks for putting this down. It's a fantastic album. Yeah, I got Dive, you got Levitation Room, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Have a listen. I think we talked about this a while ago with Indie and how Indie is going to transform because it kind of got stale there for a minute and other stuff, especially alternative rock as well, because Foster the People broke my heart. I'm still extreme butthurt about that.
But Indie is like the trailblazing force for rock music.
And look at She Plays Bass by Bee Doo Bop Beep 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 Beep.
Beep Boo Boo Bop Boo Boo Bop.
Yeah.
Beba Doobie.
Yeah, by Bee Doo Bee.
Beba Doobie.
I can't. I'm never going to say her dumb name right, but look at her music. It's fantastic. So a lot of these indie artists are still pioneering the way for mainstream alternative rock and stuff. So,
and they're kind of doing it by kind of having the indie spirit of just trying what they feel like sounds good, taking inspiration from
doing what they want,
not trying to take inspiration from what's good and new of the times, but like going with what is happening like in their heads and what inspires them to make something new or a twist on something old, basically. So yeah, that's great. How many whistleblowers?
This is like a 4 whistleblower. It's not the Stasi. It's not that good.
I'm going to say
it's like 4.
This is 3 whistleblowers along with Danny Brown. This is like if Trump were to hypothetically ask 2 countries to look into Hunter Biden, like several separate whistleblowers for each one, that'd be that. Okay.
I was going to say something extremely bad, but I'm going to hold my tongue.
Okay, so we like to end all your face on a fun note, and I added a surprise curveball for you after this, so hold.
I'm worried.
Don't look at the link until we do it, because I want to see your reaction.
Okay,
so it's been a while since Gucci Mane has been around, and he's released...
Scooch! Oh,
by the way, do you know what month it is?
Oh, God.
It's Waptober,
God
baby.
Damn it.
It's Waptober, baby.
Hold on, what was it? East Atlanta Santa, and then there's one, like, big-ass name that he did, and I was like, this guy's extra as fuck.
Wasn't there, like, a cat... Oh, the
Human Glacier. Yeah. I don't even remember how to say
it. Elgato the Human Glacier?
Yeah, Elgato the Human Glacier, man.
By the way, Waptober 2 is coming out this month. We can maybe listen to it, maybe not.
Anyways, God.
Gucci Mane is now a part of the Gucci Cruise 2020 campaign. So Gucci Mane has now collaborated with Gucci for the first time ever. He made it.
Claps.
He made it.
I ain't even mad.
Yeah.
Finally. So if I name my name Chanel, then in about 15 years, I'll finally get a thing with Chanel.
That's kind of the point of what every single rap artist who mentions.
Pretty much, yeah.
And because we like to end Audioface on a fun note, the University of Kansas has issued a formal apology after Snoop Dogg brought pole dancers and a money gun to a college party.
All right, Snoop, I fucks with you on this.
The University of Kansas.
We're bringing in the hood. What up, white folk?
Alex Young in Consequence and Sound reports that the University of Kansas, which is currently facing NCAA violations over a lack of institutional control, decided to exhibit that institutional control by doing damage control over a Snoop Dogg concert that went out of control.
First off, they played Drop It Like It's Hot and Gin and Juice while strippers were out and money guns. This is fucking amazing. And
the ghetto is here, y'all!
We're bringing the hood! Bring the hood to y'all! What up, white folk? Oh my, that is the most ratchet fucking thing in the world. And this is beautiful.
Kansas is having Midnight Madness pole dancers and shooting money in the air to mock the FBI.
Some guy said, Kansas brought Snoop Dogg to perform, decked him out in all Adidas gear, had him bring out pole dancers in light of the Georgia Tech sanctions, and then had him shoot a money gun out into the crowd as the NCAA deals with the California bill. This is everything. Another guy said, I hope Kansas goes 40-0 this year. This is amazing. Holy shit. Snoop, stay Snoop. He also made El Dorado Golf Course ratchet as fuck, and that's hilarious.
Who is it? Jeff Long, who is the athletic director, said, I take full responsibility for not thoroughly vetting all the details of the performance and offer my personal responsibility apology to those
who
were offended.
What do you expect, bud?
Who were offended? Were you triggered by Snoop Doggy Dog?
Oh my god, fucking purple hairs.
This has been Audio Face. You have been watching and listening to this, for which I am grateful. I
who can gets
be
offended
found
by strippers?
On Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at Dan from the web, and on Instagram at Dan from the internet. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod, and Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. Next week, we will be having music recommendations. We're going to see kind of like what's kind of out there, what albums that we can maybe review, but it's a little bit of a lull, honestly, the next week, so we can kind of catch up. But in 2 weeks, we have Foles releasing the second part of their album. We have Third Eye Blind. You're still making music? Should be interesting. Might be like, what was that band? OCS?
No. Jesus, no.
And later this month, we have Cigarettes After Sex, FKA Twigs, and Rex Orange County, who lives in England. We checked.
He definitely lives in England. He's never been to Orange County in his life, I bet.
So, thank you for listening to Audio Face. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.